Jesus and his love that has brought us to this place again on this wonderful Sunday. It is a story of that love, Father, that has changed our lives. And it again is that story I'd like to share with your people gathered here at International tonight and our people around the nations of the world through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. God bless. You may be seated. I'd like for you to take your Bible and turn to Philippians tonight, and thank you, Dorothy, and thank you, Rhoda. Earlier this afternoon, right after dinner, as I was seated in my office thinking through some of the wonderful things I'd like to share with my people, not only here tonight but around the nations who will be listening to this teaching, my daughter Sarah walked in and she said, "Daddy, what subject are you going to teach on tonight?" And I thought, now that's most unusual. She never does that kind of thing to me. But, you know, daughters are sometimes unpredictable, I guess. But I said, "Honey, what do you want to know for?" Well, she said, "We sometimes have a real problem to decide what to call your teaching on Sunday night." And I got to thinking, she's now working in the tape department. So, I said to her, "Well, I'm going to teach tonight on God inside minded." And she stood there a moment, and then she had it figured out. God inside put on in your mind, and that's right. I'm going to teach on God inside minded. And I want you to turn to Philippians, as I have asked you to. And I want to set before you a verse of Scripture that, again, it just took me years to believe it. And every day I just pound away at my mind and I'd say, "Look, that's what the Word says." So either the Word is a lie or it's truth. And something always said to me, "It's the Bible is truth, but..." And then I got hooked again. Then I'd say, "Well, but that's what the Word says." And I can't tell you how many years it finally took me to get around to believing what this thing really says. It's a mind blower, but we're really in the category of having our minds renewed constantly anyways. Listen to this great 13th verse of this second chapter of Philippians. "For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." That's too massive for my little old mind really to comprehend. So I begin simply by apprehending it and continue believing it and working it within my soul. Imagine God, who created the heavens and the earth, who set the stars in their courses. God, who has no competition as far as being one God, that he could love you and me, that he could love us enough, that he could say to us, "It is God who is at work within you." God at work within you. Both to will and to do. To will and to do. You'll never do until you first will. Then you do. So long. You will to believe God's word first, then you do it. You will to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, then you do what? Accept him, then you do it. It is God Almighty, the Creator. Just try to let this sink into your soul a little bit tonight. God Almighty. And look, we didn't write the book. We did not die for you. We didn't do this. God did it in Christ Jesus. And when we became his children by birth, we're the sons of the seed that we're born of. If you're born of God, whose son are you? God's son. And it is God himself who is at work within us. That literally has to then make us more than conquerors. That should remove all fear and worry and doubt and speculation. It is God who is at work within us to will and to do, to will it and carry out what? His good pleasure. That's the company of his, or the pleasure of his company. Right. Perhaps this thing sort of hit me this week because I taught on the art of dating. That's neat at my age. That's right. And see, the art of dating in my head is simply the pleasure of his or her company. It's a pleasure of his or her company. And we God at work within us to will and to do his good pleasure. When we do his good pleasure, we have the pleasure of his company with us, carrying out to will and to do. Isn't that wonderful? This is what God has called us to. This is his word. His word's his will. You and I have to get God inside-minded. Why? Because it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. God is in Christ and Christ in you, the hope of glory. Given to us the ministry of reconciliation and the word to carry out the ministry. The picture I have in my mind is a picture of a massive house built out of brick or out of stone. You can't lay the top brick until you first lay the foundation and start the bricks out, right? And then you have to lay one brick at a time. You become God inside-minded by beginning to build in your life day after day, brick after brick, or stone after stone of God's word until you get that whole edifice of your life gelling that it's just a beautiful tabernacle of God. It's just brick after brick after brick. You don't become really God inside-minded overnight. You begin, but then you have to build and stay faithful day after day after day and just stay put on that word and keep building it and building it and building it, just like a house. In John chapter 8, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You see, as we build this within our life, we become Christ-minded. We have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was where? In Christ. We become Christ-minded. When we build this in our life, we become love-activated. Because Christ is love. God is love. Christ is love, and when you and I build this, we become love activated in movement among God's people. Look at what Jesus Christ said in the Gospel of John, chapter 8. It's verse 29. He that sent me is with me. Here Jesus is talking here about the crucifixion, which he is going to have to suffer and endure. He that sent me, God who sent me, is with me. The Father hath not left me what? For I do always those things that what? Please him. Jesus said he always did those things that please him. When you and I walk on God's word and declare what God's word declares, then we are pleasing unto him. God in Christ has done a perfect work within us. Just in all of its perfection. You know, in Ephesians chapter 1, it says in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. The text literally reads, he hath made us lovely and acceptable. See, God in Christ has done a perfect work within us. He has made us lovely. He has made us acceptable. He did it. Well, if He made us lovely, then we're what? Lovely. So act like it. Go down the street and say, "Here comes lovely." That's right. He made us what? Okay, now when we put that on, what He made us in the inner man, we put that on in our mind, then we are the manifestation of His pleasure, of His goodness, of His loveliness, which we have in Christ Jesus. That's why He made us this way. Now what we have to do is put these building blocks in proper sequence in order, so that His word may live within us, that we may be well-pleasing unto Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, wherefore we labor, or we endeavor to carry forth this, which they have been talking about, that whether present or absent, we may be what? Acceptable or accepted. You see, the word is that we may be well-pleasing. See? You don't work to be accepted of Him because we read earlier, He made us what? Acceptable. Well, if He made it to us, then you don't work for it, honey. Right? Right. Now, that's why I teach this in foundational class. If you haven't taken the foundational class, take it. It's the best thing in the world. I'm prejudiced, but still the best. This is one of the verses we handle in the foundational class. We labor. We endeavor to work at this thing. That whether Christ returns or doesn't return, yet we are lovely and acceptable. We don't work to make ourselves acceptable. We work to make ourselves lovely in our well-pleasing unto Him. I think in the foundational class we handle it, that we may be well-pleasing unto Him. That we may be lovely for Him in our walk. He made us lovely. Now we put it on up here in our mind. Then we manifested forth the loveliness of the redemption that you and I have in Christ Jesus. There's a record in Hebrews also. Hebrews chapter 13, I'd like to call your attention to. 13:21. Make you perfect in every good work. To do His what? Will. Working in you. Working in you. Working in you. That which is well-pleasing in His what? Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. He's at work within you to work that which is well-pleasing. Now, we have the Christ in us. We have to put on the mind of Christ. That's what I mean by being God inside, minded, walking forth, holding the greatness of God's word. Because when we work at this and put on the mind of Christ, we have new habits. The habits previously sort of fall by the wayside. Because you've replaced them with something much better. Sometimes happens to the neighbors and friends too. You have new neighbors, new friends, a few other little items. Why? Because you're in a family. And in the family of God, that wonderful family to which we belong, we now renew our minds and we have new habits. We have a new kind of love. Previously, it was all self-love. See? Thought of that this week again when I taught the homo trip, the lesbian deal. All that stuff is nothing but pure egotistical selfishness. Oh, what can I get out of it? What good is it for me? What does it do for me? It's the extreme of egotism, the extreme of selfishness. Now, husbands and wives sometimes are still selfish also. But when you belong to that family of God, and that God is at work within you, and you're part of that family, you not only get a new habit or new habits, you get a new kind of love. A love that is not selfish. A love that's outgoing. A love that does something for somebody else, not because they're going to pay it back to you, but just because you're so loved, you can't help but give it out. You just cannot help but express it, because it's so much within you, it's just got to come out. It's like the measles or something. If you've got them, you can communicate them. Try. So, this new love is the agapeo love, the love of God in Christ in the renewed mind in manifestation. And this is what people are seeing out of our ministry, the greatest of all. They're seeing a new kind of love, a new kind of compassion, a new kind of understanding. They're seeing a new kind of tenderness, because it's that love of God made manifest in our day and in our time. Also in this family of God, where He is at work within us to will and to do His good pleasure, we develop new interests. New concerns, new interests. Previously, you were interested in doing so and so. But now, being in the family, you've got a new interest. That's why many of you are here in summer school all summer. You've got a new interest. The Word, the different subjects that are being taught for leadership training to make you the best men and women it's possible to make. In 2 Corinthians, and while I'm thinking about it, in the family of God, you usually have a new language too, besides speaking in tongues. because you no longer talk lack, you no longer talk fear and worry or anxiety, you no longer talk I do not have. Right. You see, if it's our living in the Word that makes the Word living in us. Only to the end that you live in this Word will this Word live within you. That puts off fear and worry, anxiety, frustration, and all these other things. I said 2 Corinthians, chapter 9. Listen to verse 8. And God is able. If God is able, He's also willing. Whatever God is able to do, He's always willing to do. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Grace is divine favor. To make all of it abound to you. Abound to you. That you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good what? Work. See it? That's God-mindedness in action. It's God inside minded up here bringing forth the ministry which is well-pleasing in His sight. God's able to make all grace abound to you. Isn't that beautiful? Doesn't say condemnation, says grace. That you always have all sufficiency. Now I know that this verse in context is rooted in the abundant sharing. I know that. But when people share abundantly and God does this for them, then it not only helps them in the material realm, but in the physical, in the mental, in the spiritual, the whole realm of man's life goes higher and higher, taller and taller. Verse 9. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth how long? Now, look at verse 10 and watch the tense here. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food and multiply your seed sown. He gives the seed in the first place and then he multiplies it. That's a pretty good God. Giving us the seed and then multiplying it, which will increase the fruits of your, what? Righteousness. You know what righteousness is? Your God-given ability to stand before justification. I remember the foundational class now. It's your God-given justification whereby you stand before God right now without any sense of condemnation, fear, worry, anxiety, frustration, or any of the past sins. That's righteousness. Now he's going to increase the fruit of it. So you're going to have righteousness, 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 righteousness. Right. It's wonderful. Righteousness, I said, is your God-given standing in Christ Jesus. But I'd like for you to think of it along another line. It is also your standing against the adversary. It's not just your standing in Christ, it's your standing against the adversary. He's going to increase the fruits of our righteousness. We know what righteousness is. So as we increase these fruits, it puts us in good standing against the adversary. Without any fear of him, or without any inferiority complexes, if there's anything you ought to have, it ought to be a superiority spiritual complex. That's right. No inferiority in the body, because God is our Father. It is God who is at work within us to will and to do his what? Sure. No wonder people say we're a haughty bunch. Well, that's no secret. We are. We have God as our Father, and he's the greatest. Why, if your daddy was president of the United States, you'd most likely run around and brag about it. At least when you had an opportunity. Well, what about our God who saved us in Christ Jesus? Why shouldn't we walk this week with our shoulders back and our heads up? Why shouldn't we walk with the love of God in our manifestation, with the tenderness, the peace, the forgiveness, the understanding, the compassion? You see, with this knowledge of God's Word, you can plan your day with God's help. If you can't get along through the day, take it an hour at a time. Plan an hour, and God will be with you to help you in that hour, because God's at work within you to will and to do his what? That's right. You plan the day, and God backs it up with his help. It's beautiful. This is why we're instructed to cast all our cares or our care upon him, for he what? Why do you want to carry and bear the burdens when he is the burden bearer? Why not just cast your cares upon him? Let him carry them. The community will try to talk you out of it. Your next door neighbors and everybody else will talk you out of it. People, you just have to get to the place. Are we what the Word of God says we are? Do we have what the Word of God says we have? If we don't, then we ought to chuck the whole thing. I have no doubt about that we've got it. Then you got to start acting it. You got to start putting it on in your mind. And you have to start walking, building that brick, understand? In that house or laying that stone and then another one, then another one, then another one. That is how life was made to grow for the believer, the Christian. That is why the word also says we are more than conquerors through him who did what? And gave himself for us. We're more than conquerors. More than conquerors. God's at work within us to will and to do his what? That's it. So we have to become God inside minded. We have to say again what the word says. In Ephesians. You all knew I'd get there sooner or later, didn't you? I like you too. Look at chapter 1. The eyes of your understanding, verse 18. Being lit up and lightened. Right. So when they look in your eyeballs, they see Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, you're not that bleary, blinking eye you used to be when you were dopey and the rest of the stuff, you know. No. I see some of you have seen it before. You looked in a mirror or something. Your eyes being enlightened, lit up, without marine, just lit up. See? That you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is where. That you may know it. Well, I'm just teaching a little tonight of that greatness. God in Christ in you. God at work within you. To will and to do his good pleasure. The creator of heaven and earth. Down here upon earth. Living within us. To will and to do his good pleasure. That the eyes of your understanding may be lit up. Enlightened. That you may know, verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who do what? Believe. According to the working of his mighty power. I didn't work it. According to the working of his, God's mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from what? And set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power and might. And when he sent Seth, raised him from the dead, and he set him in the heavenlies, the word says we're seated in the heavenlies with him. Therefore, since everything far above all principalities, power, might, so forth, then we are over those powers, principalities, we're over all those negative, devilish things, dominions, and above every name in this world. Why? Because you have the name of God in Christ stamped on you. It's his seal. You know, I was in the Old Testament on Abraham last week to show the class, the camp, that Sarah called Abraham her God. See? Well, she did. Because, you see, like God was God to Moses. Moses was like God to whom? Aaron is what the word says. Moses stood in the place of God to Aaron. Then Aaron was to tell the people, go fly a kite or something, as to what God had told Moses. Now Sarah looked at Abraham as her God. God spoke to her husband named Abraham Abraham took care of Sarah and his family. He was like God to her. That's why it says she called him Lord. Now, I know that Abraham wasn't God Almighty. I know Moses wasn't God Almighty. But when God gives his word and you speak the same word that God's word says, then he stands in the place of God on this earth, class. You stand in the place of God in Christ on this earth when you and I say what the word of God says. Oh, they just never seen it, class. They have just never seen what you can show to the world, which is Christianity. The way. You know, Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, the life. God redeeming man, God saving man. No man will ever have an answer until they come to the Word. They'll dilly-dally around, they'll use very academic language and terms, but they just haven't got it, because without God in Christ in you, you're an empty floating by. You're just so much hot air. That's right. I don't care if you know all the mathematical formulas and all the chemistry formulas and all the other stuff academically. That's beautiful. But it's not beautiful enough, because there's something you need that man needs to make him complete, and that's God and his word. They need Christ in them, the hope of glory. And you have that word to hold forth, because God is at work within you to will and to do his good pleasure. I forgot what verse I was. Okay, look at it. 21. Ephesians. Far above. Not just above, but how? What? Far above. They can't even smell us. Far above. In every name that's named, not only in this world, but also that is what? And hath put all things under his feet. All things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to what? Do you belong to church? Then who's the head? All right. He's the head. And the head said, he's put everything under his feet, put everything under your feet. He has claimed all the dominion, far above all dominion, authority, power. The head said, you got it. Well, now if the head said you got it, what does your head say? You got it. Right. You have it. Either that or he is not head. And if he is not head, then who's gonna be the head? Well, the Pope. The Right Reverend so-and-so. I don't know. No. We've had all of that baloney stuff for years. We got to come to the place that he is the head. And when the head says jump, you never even ask how high, you just jump. When the head says this is what you have, you never ask, well, do I feel like it or not? Nothing to do with your feeling. You just say, I've got it. I know this is a new approach. It's only new because we've lost the road, the way. We haven't seen the Christ through the centuries. It's not new. It's as old as Jesus Christ's resurrection and ascension. It's only new because it's new to our time. That's all. Well, it says is his body head over all things to the church. His what? Body. And you're a member of that body. That's how you got in the family of God. Member of that body. Look at 3:20. Now unto him who is able to do what? Exceed abundance, exceedingly abundantly. Above all we ask or what? According to the power that worketh in us. Well, what power is it that is at work within us? God. Then are we emaciated, incapacitated? No. Well, what power is it that is at work within us? God, then are we emaciated, incapacitated? No. We have His Word telling us that it is His power in us. Then if we become God inside-minded, we manifest forth the greatness of that wonderful Word of His. I'd like to close with 1 Corinthians. There are many, many other scriptures that I could go into. But it isn't the amount of scripture I teach, it's how much do you believe and practice. It's true of all of us. Verse 9 of chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. For we are what? Laborers, workmen, workers, together with whom? That's a winning combination. That's right. So if you want to be on the losing team, just stay unsaved. If you want to be full of fear and worry and anxiety, just disbelieve God's word. But for those of us who have any spiritual sense, we want to be what the Word of God says we are, and we want to manifest it. It says we're laborers together with God. God who created the heavens and the earth. We are laborers together with Him because He's at work within us to willingly do His good pleasure. He is standing with us. That's why I said plan your day. You've got His help. In the factory, in the shops, out on the farms, in the businesses, planning that with God in there, you've got His help. Workmen together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. You're God's plowed field. You're God's tillage. You're God's heritage. He bought us. As a body, remember, know ye not that as the body, we're the members of whom? We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Temple of God. Temple of the Holy Spirit. And it says, we are not our own, for we have been bought with a what? Well, if you're not your own, you gotta be somebody's, right? Okay, whose are we? God's. We've been bought with a price. We're not our own. We're His. You're God's tillage, God's plowed field, God's heritage. We are God's what? Building. The temple, the body is God's building, and in that building we are individual tabernacles, and then you just keep like brick after brick after brick after brick of God's wonderful word in your mind in manifestation. That is God inside-minded. You and I have to become in the world what the Word says we are spiritually in the inner man. That's the walk of a more than a conqueror. That's the walk of a more than abundant life. With every member, a very important and wonderful person in that whole body of Christian believers. Not only of the way as we know it here at International, but the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ who are interested in the integrity and accuracy of God's Word, put it on and walk in it, of all peoples around the world. We are one in Christ. For that I am grateful and thankful, and for that we can be God inside-minded and walk forth on the greatness of that Word. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I thank You again for the privilege of being back here at International tonight to stand in this teaching center with the greatness of the love of God that I have in my heart for my people. And Father, I thank You for this great word which literally has brought us out of darkness and set us upon our high places. Because we heard that word, we believed it, and You did what You said You would do whenever men and women believed Your word. So tonight, I thank You again for the health and the strength and the guidance to teach it, and I thank You for our people around the nations of the world. May this be the greatest week of their life. May people become truly excited about your word and the walking forth of it. May there be many hearts touched to live for you, Father. And may they come and join us at the Rock of Ages, and many of them to turn to be WOWs and give their life for 1 year. Father, you've done so much for us. Anything we can do for you will be very small in compared to what you did for us in Christ Jesus. But I thank you and praise you for all of your great goodness and your wonderful mercy and grace. Amen.